wandering, but a preacher as I, and I'm stuck. That's 3 weeks ago today. What did y'all do? 3 weeks ago today, celebrated Christmas. Did you get any stuff? Did you get any gifts? No? Wow. That's unusual. Usually wherever I go, I ask people if they got anything for Christmas, and they, yeah, and it's only been 3 weeks, so they even remember what they got. You know, 6 months later, it's like, I don't remember. Well, I'm assuming that not even most of you, all of you, got something. Someone gave you something for Christmas. Because somebody loved you and wanted to give you something. What I want to focus on this morning in our message is the concept that love is demonstrated. Love is demonstrated by giving. Now, some might say, oh, you mean it isn't just the thought that counts? Men, in 4 weeks, about 4 weeks, Valentine's Day is coming up. And if when you get home from work, you say, oh, honey, I forgot it was Valentine's Day, but you know I love you. How do you think that's going to fly? It's the thought that counts, isn't it? And I know that in a group this size, and frankly, this kind of gathering, there may be some marriages here that my wife doesn't care about those kinds of things. And believe me, she might not get upset. It's the norm. Valentine's Day isn't remembered. But it would be special if you were to give her something to demonstrate your love. So, men, in four weeks, remember that. And I hope that this message will be an encouragement, as frivolous as that may be, to share your love with your wife by demonstrating it, by giving. There's another concept, though, to consider, and that is the extent of our love is demonstrated by the extent of our giving. Now, wait a minute. That sounds a little... Is that really biblical? Or is that something that Hallmark wants you to do, that, Macy's wants you to think about, whatever? I hope to show you that, in fact, that is very much a biblical principle. Love is demonstrated by giving, and the extent of our love is demonstrated by the extent of our giving. It's our actions that really show what's in the heart. We all know that that's a biblical principle, right? We can just sort of toss something at someone. Didn't really cost us much. Didn't really take some thought, some preparation. And that doesn't mean that we don't have a deep appreciation, a deep love for that person. But I think there is a place for recognizing that, if I give till it hurts, till it costs me something, and my attitude, my motivation for that is because I love that person that much, I'll do that. It is something that helps us grow. It's something that helps us demonstrate to that other person how much we love them. And certainly, it demonstrates to the Lord how much we love Him. And so, you think about that. At Christmas, maybe Bill, Marge got you a pack of golf balls. To really demonstrate the extent of her love, too bad she didn't get you the golf clubs, right? The set of clubs. And men, at Valentine's Day, you might think of getting your wife a nice little necklace from Walmart. Does that mean, well, really, to show her the extent of your love, you should have gotten, the diamond pendant with matching earrings? Well, I'm not suggesting that kind of thing. I trust that you understand what I mean when we talk about the extent of your love is demonstrated by the extent of your giving. The Word of God makes it clear. The most famous verse in the Bible, what does it say? God loved, He gave. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. And even within that verse, the concept of the extent of love is demonstrated by the extent of giving is demonstrated. For God so loved the world that He gave what? His only begotten Son. That is how much He loved. Now, we all know the rest of the verse, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish but have eternal life. We're not going to focus on that at all this morning. We're going to focus on this idea that love is demonstrated by giving. And so, this is obvious. This isn't some new principle that I'm presenting. It's just a part of the way we daily live out our lives. I've already mentioned, like at Christmas, what do? We give gifts to people because we love them. At Valentine's Day, on birthdays or whatever, these are occasions where we want to make a special effort to show we love them. And what do? We give them something. The thing is, especially what's beginning to happen, I don't even know if it's beginning to happen, but it seems to me, especially with the push of our culture on Christmas and Valentine's Day and other things like this, there is an insidious motivation to not necessarily give because you love, but because you're supposed to. There's pressure. And perhaps the ugliest side of it all is, well, I give them something, and then they're sort of obligated to give me something back. You take a step back, and I'm not going to ask for a show of hands, but have you ever done that? Then Scripture has. There have been times I've given something, and it's sort of like, and I'll get something back. I hope that I've grown out of that through the years, but that happens, doesn't it? The whole prosperity movement within the church is based on that concept. Oh, I'll give to the Lord. Is it out of love? I don't think so. It's because I'll get more back. Just a development of the selfishness of the human heart. Where's love in that? Love demonstrated by giving is a matter of the heart. So since God loved us, He gave us something. And it's good to think carefully about what He gave. We've already mentioned, He loved, He gave. But then I also said, we're not going to go on to the second part of the verse. Because we tend to think about that gift as eternal life. And surely that was part of it. But what does the verse tell us that He gave? He gave His Son. The most wonderful gifts that God gives us are people. I think women tend to grasp that more than men, but we understand that, don't we, all of us? The most wonderful thing, the most wonderful things that God gives us are people, one another, our families, our friends, even the people that we rub elbows with in the community, like the checkout gal. If you go to the same grocery store frequently, and you'll see the same gal there. This is a person that God has given you to interact with. You're studying evangelism. You're going to even have an opportunity to get some pointers on just what to say. Remember, God has given you that person. How can you demonstrate your love to that person? Can't think of a better way than sharing the gospel with them. Saving them, throwing them a lifeline. So, I think it's a very, very practical and very real aspect of this demonstrating our love by giving. And what we give is our time. We give a little piece of ourselves, right? Isn't that what we Americans hang on to so tightly? My time. My time is for earning money. My time is for entertainment. My time is for doing what I want to do. And there's a place for those things, for sure. But when we think about what it is that we give, you know, well, I'll write a check. Well, that's good too, especially when it demonstrates from the heart a giving to the Lord. But I would dare say, often, brothers and sisters, that is not enough. That is not truly a matter of demonstrating the love that we have for the Lord or for someone else. Time sure does, though. Time sure does. Taking an interest. You know, we know the stories of the rich millionaires, the billionaires, and their kids are just gone. They had everything. You say, how could that kid reject the family and everything? There was no love in the Corvette that Dad bought the boy on his 16th birthday. There was no love in the vacations to the Bahamas. Dad was on the phone the whole time. Love is demonstrated by giving, and truly it's giving of ourselves. And it's giving of money. I don't want to step on toes. I'll see if I get invited back. My brothers and sisters, you know, if you are involved in any kind of mission work, you know, my beloved Spanish World Ministries, the work I'm involved with India, our wonderful school in Dubuque, among others. And if you're not involved in those kinds of things, let me tell you, one of the agonizing aspects of being involved in that kind of ministry is there, it seems like there's always a greater need for funds than there are funds. I don't want to get off on a rabbit trail, but those of you that have felt that kind of anxiety and pressure, let me remind you of something. Remember what the Lord said? Beseech the Lord of the harvest to go out and fundraise as much as you possibly can. Sometimes, though, that's those that are trying to do this kind of thing, that's the burden they feel. But that is not what the Lord told us to plead with Him for. What He said to plead with Him for was what? Send more laborers. Complicate your problem. Have even more that needs support. Because the Lord will take care of them. But that does not relieve us of the responsibility for giving, to demonstrate that love, sacrificially showing, saying, Lord, I love You, and I love these dear ones who are putting their lives on the line, and I will give to that. Love is demonstrated by giving. There are so many ways to do it. But how about that second point? That's even a little tougher. Really, the extent of our love is demonstrated by the extent of our giving. Well, I said that this is a principle that is also taught in the Word of God. And nowhere better, although there are many places that we could look, but nowhere better is, I think, this principle taught than in Luke chapter 7. Would you turn there? Would you turn to Luke chapter 7? This is, I guess you might say, our passage for the morning, although I'll be looking at several different portions, but Luke chapter 7, and I'm going to start reading at verse 36. I think it's good to get the whole story so we can really see what's going on. Luke 7:36. Now one of the Pharisees was requesting Jesus to dine with him, and he entered the Pharisee's house and reclined at table. And behold, there was a woman in the city who was a sinner. And when she learned that he was reclining at table in the Pharisee's house, she brought in an alabaster vial of perfume. And standing behind him at his feet, weeping, she began to wet his feet with her tears and kept wiping them with the hair of her head and kissing his feet and anointing them with the perfume. What a picture. Now, Jesus' feet were filthy. She was using her hair, wiping his feet. And she was weeping. And this alabaster vial, you know, this was not just a day's wage worth of perfume. This was something that cost her dearly. Verse 39, now when the Pharisee who had invited him saw this, he said to himself, if this man were a prophet, he would know who and what sort of person this woman is who's touching him, that she's a sinner. The sense that we understand is she was a prostitute. And this alabaster vial, just think of what she did to earn the money. You know, we often call something blood money. What kind of money would you call this? And Jesus answered and said to him, Simon, I have something to say to you. And Simon replied, say it, teacher. A certain moneylender had two debtors. One owed 500 denarii and the other 50. When they were unable to repay, he graciously forgave them both. Which of them, therefore, will love him more? Simon answered and said, I suppose the one whom he forgave more. What a crass answer. Well, I suppose. You know, trying to distance this lesson that must have just wham, you know. I suppose the one whom he forgave more. And he said, you have answered. You have judged correctly. And turning toward the woman, he said to Simon, you see this woman? I entered your house. You gave me no water for my feet. That's how we know that Jesus' feet were filthy, when she wiped his feet with her hair. But she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair. You gave me no kiss, but since the time I came in, she has not ceased to kiss my feet. You did not anoint my head with oil, but she anointed my feet with perfume. For this reason I say to you, her sins, which are many, have been forgiven her, for she loved much. But he who is forgiven little loves little. The principle there is because she recognized she was given so much. Her sins were so vast, which she recognized. She loved that much. To give this costly vial of perfume and pour the whole thing out, waste it. Really? In a moment to show her love. And what else did she do? In gratitude, with a broken heart, she was weeping and she used those tears in her hair. You know, what does the Bible say a woman's hair is? It's her glory. This woman was wiping her glory on Jesus' dirty feet. What a demonstration of love and honor. Can you imagine giving more to Jesus than that? Demonstrating great love. Of course, the Pharisee, was there any love at all in his heart? He didn't give Jesus anything. In fact, it was an underlying insult in not providing the standard amenities, you know, when a visitor would come. She loved a lot. She gave a lot. And of course, in John 3:16, I mentioned already, this famous verse, we have the principle demonstrated, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. As I mentioned, the Lord's greatest gift to us is not health, is not a pension, is not a nice house, not a reliable car. It's people. These are all things that we appreciate, and many of these things that we need, but God's greatest gift to us is people. And his greatest gift to us is what? The person of his Son. Nothing else even compares. Now, our brother this morning, we didn't sing it, but he read the words to this hymn. It was number 39 in the black book. And as he read the words, I said, well, there's my sermon. I'm going to read some of these verses again. Blessed be God our God who gave for us his well-beloved Son. The gift of gifts. All other gifts in one. Blessed be God our God. Well, he loved us so much that he gave us his only Son. Now, there's another verse almost exactly the same, and it's interesting because it's the other John 3:16. You know what I mean? 1 John 3:16 says this. So, you know, it's interesting. If you're thinking about John 3:16, reading it, hey, flip over to 1 John 3:16 and share that one too. We know love by this, that he laid down his life for us. That's how much Jesus loved us. The demonstration of love is he gave his life. So, think about it. The extent of God's love, the Son gave his life. The Father gave his Son. And because of those gifts, the rest of John 3:16, and because of that, we have eternal life. What a gift. What more could we want? And in our spiritual moments, you know, that's right. I mean, what more could I possibly want than Jesus? Eternal life, the hope of eternal life. Well, you know, the Lord knows us. He experienced our anxieties and our needs and the things that, you know, we worry about. And so the word goes on and doesn't just say, and that's enough for you. I'm going to read Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Wow, all things. Once again, a very popular verse in the prosperity gospel arena. Well, he's going to give us all things. There it is, right there. And so I would submit to you that the Word of God invites us to consider how much he gives because he loves us over and above the Lord Jesus himself, the Lord Jesus' life, eternal life. How much more does he give? You know, our brother even mentioned, we take for granted sometimes some of the things, the lights that come on, the reliable car, a job, a spouse. But, you know, there are times when we don't have those things. I think especially of the agony that so many go through when they don't have a job. And we're pleading with the Lord. You know, I need work, Lord. I'm not asking for a handout. This is a good thing that we're asking for, is it not? Why wouldn't the Lord, who freely gives us all things, give us a good thing like a job? Is this almost like a contradiction with this verse that we know it's good. We're not asking for to win the lottery. We're asking something good. How about when a beloved one is ill, and we're asking the Lord for healing. You know, a young person with cancer. A servant of the Lord that's doing good work overseas or within the body. You know, and we're pleading with the Lord, and they don't get better. In fact, the life is taken. And we're confused even by it. Why did not the Lord answer my prayer? And even when He answered that prayer for Bob and Susie, why didn't He answer it for me? Why did He take my beloved spouse, my child? Was I fired when I was doing a good job? You know, all these questions. I'm sure that there are many of you who can identify with that agony of praying a prayer. It wasn't a selfish prayer. It was a good thing. And what happened? The Lord said no. I hope and trust that there were many a time when the Lord did say yes as well. Over 10 years ago, my wife came down with the standard name was swine flu. Remember that? When swine flu was a very similar virus to the COVID virus, of the same lineage, we might say. The official name was H1N1. And with that particular virus, the death rate was very low, but people did die from it. There were some that just reacted very, very strongly. Their immune system went overboard, and the inflammatory reaction just filled up their lungs, and they got pneumonia. Just the same kind of thing that's going on with the COVID. Only more people, a larger percentage of people have been dying from COVID than H1N1. But anyway, my wife comes home from work early. I could count on one hand, I'm not exaggerating, that would have been 25 years of her working, that she ever came home early from work. And she said, "Ben, I'm really sick. I'm really sick." And I said, "Well, if Karen's come home, she must be really sick. You know, call the doctor." Call the doctor. The nurse just gave us the runaround, and the doctor wouldn't see her. So finally, she couldn't even hardly walk. She was so weak. Go to the ER. We went to the ER without going into a big, long explanation there. They were just doing nothing. And she was curled up in the fetal position in pain. She could hardly breathe. Her headache was just beyond measure. And they had put one of those little things on her finger, you know, that tell you how much oxygen is in the blood. Oh, 100%. Well, through the night, it was just getting worse and worse. And another doctor came on the route, you know, and, you know, okay, tell me about her. You know how frustrating it is when you got to go through the whole scenario again, say what's ever wrong. And so he said, well, check her oxygen again. And the nurse did something and then put it back on. And it was 42% saturation. And the nurse goes, well, that can't be. Well, it shouldn't be. But that is actually where her oxygen level was. Well, no wonder she had a headache, you know. And so now they're rushing around and they put oxygen and all that kind of stuff. Through the night, she didn't get much better. The oxygen was helping, but she still wasn't getting much better. In the morning, finally, the doctor said, you know, we just are unable to get her oxygen levels back up. We need your permission, but we really feel that we need to put her on a ventilator. Oh, yeah, whatever it takes. When they did that to her, she, you know, she's unconscious, she's not with it, and she yanked the tube out, and so then her heart went into atrial fib. The part of her heart that sends blood to the lungs now isn't working properly. They showed me the x-rays. She had about the size of a silver dollar in both lungs. That's all the air, that's all the room for air there was. The rest was filled up with fluid. So her lungs aren't hardly working. Her heart isn't working. And I came in when I saw the thing, and I knew enough about that chart. I said, her heart isn't working right either. And the nurse wouldn't even look at me. And she said, no, you maybe you should call your family. You know, when nurse says, you better call your family, you know, that's not good. And then the doctor said, we can't help her anymore. We need to fly her to Fort Wayne, a city 50 miles away where there's a bigger hospital. So I watched as my wife was put into a helicopter and flown away, and I had a one-hour drive to the hospital, fully expecting to get there and hear, you know, there was nothing we could do. You can imagine the drive with me and the Lord. And I was pleading, you know, I was pleading for my wife's life. Oh, Lord, you know, she plays the piano. She's going to make such a great grandmother. You know, she cooks for the assembly. She teaches son, all these things, Lord. And we've built this life together. And then something happened. And this thought came over me of the Lord Jesus pleading with his Father in the Garden of Gethsemane, if there be any other way, yet not my will but thine be done. And it dawned on me, can you imagine how it broke the Father's heart to tell his Son, no, no, no. There's a bigger thing at stake here. And I love these people on this planet enough to give you, Son. And Jesus was saying, I love the Father and I love you enough to give my life. And so the Father said no. Why? Because of something better that would be accomplished. And so I thought, you know, Lord, if you say no, and I get there, and they tell me there's nothing we could do. I don't know all the dynamics, but I'm sure it broke your heart more than my heart will be broken. And it's a bizarre thing to say, but I almost felt like there was a sense of sadness, being sorry for the Lord if he was going to take my wife. Well, you've all met my wife. I got to the hospital. And we got her stabilized. And she was on the ventilator for 8 days, unconscious and everything, but you know, the Lord spared her life. You know, I was one of those that had the mercy and the grace and the joy of having my plead answered with yes. But my daughter's mother-in-law, granddaughter to four of Karen and my grandchildren, just over a month ago, had virtually the same thing happen to her with COVID. And the Lord said no. And Patty Pritchett is in the presence of the Lord, and Bob Pritchett's heart is broken. But you know what? Patty is in glory. And as much as it broke the Lord's heart, Bob is learning and dealing with his trust and his appreciation for what the plans the Lord has were for his beloved wife. That verse, how shall he not give us all things? It comes out of Matthew. In the Gospel of Luke, the Lord says the very same thing. You being evil, give gifts to your children. How shall the Lord not give you all things? Good things, he says. In the Gospel of Luke, he makes it a little more specific, and he says, how shall the Father not give you the Holy Spirit? Now that is the best thing. Remember, the Lord, The best things He gives us are people. And the Lord does give us the Holy Spirit. He's giving us Himself in the most difficult of times. And I can honestly tell you that the Lord prepared me. If I had heard, there's nothing that we could do. I know that the Lord would have given me the grace to handle it. And I tell you, I wouldn't trade that hour in that car. The closeness that I felt with the Lord through His Holy Spirit was priceless. I wouldn't trade it for anything. And I trust that you've had those experiences where through tragedy, through difficulty, the Lord came so close and He gave you Himself. And you grew in your person and you grew in your relationship with Him. And that is what He is promising us. He demonstrates His life, His love for us by giving His life, by giving Himself through His Holy Spirit. And He will enable us not only to get through anything, but to get to know Him even better. Is it worth it? That's something that each of us must answer for ourselves when we go through those kinds of things. That's something that my dear brother Bob is having to learn. Is it worth it? The closest that he has experienced to his Lord and Savior, and his wife isn't there to appreciate it with him. Romans 8:32 says, "He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things?" He gives us himself. In John 3, verse 1, it says, "See how great a love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called children of God, and such we are." The Father not only has given us His beloved Son, but He's brought us into His family. He's given us so much. But in the end, is there really anything else we could ask for besides Him giving us Himself? We'll know really how silly all some of these things were that we wanted when we see Him face to face. But I'm not minimizing the pain and the loss that we experience. Sometimes the confusion when a good prayer, a good thing that we're asking for is met with no. But be assured and be encouraged that He has promised us that He will give us all things, good things, and ultimately it boils down to Himself. He truly, truly will. And so, the Word of God tells us explicitly that love is demonstrated by giving. The extent of our love is demonstrated by the extent of our giving. We know love by this, that He laid down His life for us. But, the applications always come in the Word of God. They always come. You know what John, 1 John 3:17 goes on to say? "But whoever has the world's goods and beholds his brother in need and closes his heart against him, how does the love of God abide in him? Little children, let us not love with word or with tongue, but in deed and truth." Heavenly Father, thank you for giving us your Son. How it broke your heart to say no to Him in the garden. And how I know many here, perhaps they've never thought of it that way, but their prayers, their pleading was answered with a no, and your heart was broken. Jesus, you wept at the tomb, even though you knew what you were going to be doing, seeing the broken hearts of Mary and Martha and the crowd, you wept. This wasn't an act. You felt it. You understood it. Your heart breaks when you say no. But thank you so much that you didn't say no when you decided way back before eternity that you would save your people and bring us into a relationship with yourself. Father, we love you. Jesus, we love you. Forgive us for how often we take your love for granted and we don't really demonstrate that love out of selfishness, out of doubt, out of ignorance, whatever it is. I pray that you would enable us to grow in our love for you and demonstrate it in whatever form that may take. We bless you and we pray in Jesus' name.